You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Carol Kong from our International Economics and Currency Strategy team. Carol, good to have you on today.
Great to be back.
Now, we're continuing a thematic that we've talked about in a lot of our recent podcasts, which is on the environmental, social and governance point of view and thinking about climate change, how to become greener, how to have more of a sustainable economy. So some of the podcasts that we've done recently on this have been looking at the idea of a circular economy, the impacts of the focus in the US on climate change policy, and also in Australia about hydrogen. So we're continuing on that path today, Carol, which is a great thematic to talk about. So in your paper titled Green is the New Black in a Post-COVID World, you talk a bit about sustainable economic growth and a little bit about green growth. Now, what is that?
Well, I think before we jump into green growth, it is very useful to talk about what linear growth is. And it is economic growth that is linked to raw material consumption and therefore carbon dioxide emissions. Now, the global economy has been relying on this growth model for many decades. But while this growth model did bring about economic prosperity, it also led to a warmer world we all live in today. And this link between economic growth and emissions appears to suggest that economic and climate goals are mutually exclusive. But I think they don't have to be. So now governments can pursue green growth, which basically is economic growth that is environmentally sustainable. And I think the COVID-19 pandemic presents countries a really great opportunity to accelerate this transformation to this greener economic growth model.
Now, in the note that you've published, you do have a chart, and economists do love charts, about global CO2 emissions and global GDP growth, and obviously there is a strong correlation there. But over the past 12 months, we've obviously lived in a very different economy due to COVID-19. What happened to carbon emissions during 2020 when the global economy was in recession?
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. The lockdown restrictions put in place to control the spread of the coronavirus over the past year have resulted in a biggest drop in global carbon dioxide emissions since 1990. So specifically, carbon dioxide emissions have fallen by 4.4% globally in 2020 compared to just a year ago. And driving the emissions fall was the aviation sector, which obviously has been hard hit by the border closures. But one country has bucked the falling emissions trend, and that is China. So unlike the rest of the world, China's carbon dioxide emissions were actually higher in 2020 than in 2019. I guess that's not too surprising considering the fact that China's economy has rebounded very strongly. I mean, China is now widely expected to be the only major economy to have expanded in 2020. And at the same time, China's fiscal stimulus has been largely targeted at carbon-intensive infrastructure projects. But still, the fall in global carbon dioxide emissions was massive. And the important question here is whether or not the fall can be sustained. And unfortunately, the high-frequency data that we monitor suggests that global carbon dioxide emissions already returned to the pre-coronavirus levels from last July, even when many countries were still under severe lockdowns. And in fact, we saw a similar trend occur after the global financial crisis or the GFC over just 10 years ago. Global carbon dioxide emissions did dip initially during the GFC, but as soon as economies recovered, emissions bounced back sharply higher. And that is because many governments' recovery stimulus measures were carbon intensive.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. So one of the things that we've seen over the past 12 months is some extensive fiscal support provided by governments all around the world, including here in Australia, where we've had quite an extensive fiscal stimulus plan. Are any countries using these stimulus plans to support climate initiatives? And I think that's really interesting to think about, given I think the past 12 months we've seen countries elevate climate change in part of their thinking, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually see many governments' post-COVID recovery plans being slightly greener compared to the post-GFC stimulus. And the shift towards greener stimulus, I think, is just a reflection of the growing consensus that more action needs to be taken to tackle the problem of climate change. And what we've found is that the Eurozone has the greenest stimulus, followed by the UK and Canada. Driving the greenness of the Eurozone's economic stimulus is the $750 billion Next Generation EU recovery package, of which 37% will be directed towards green initiatives. So on the flip side, you've got China, the US and Australia at the browner end of the spectrum. In other words, their stimulus packages are just to be more environmentally damaging. And globally, around 31% of total COVID-related stimulus funds will flow to sectors with a historically large environmental impact, whether it be positive or negative. And these sectors include the likes of agriculture, industry, waste, energy, and transport. Importantly, one third of these 31% of stimulus funds announced to date are environmentally friendly. But as the pandemic slowly recedes, I think governments will focus more on the longer term recovery plans rather than the rescue type policies. So hopefully we'll see more green policies being incorporated into the stimulus plans.
I do think a lot of the government stimulus packages that we saw during COVID-19 were largely the sugar hit to get the economies through the COVID-19 recession. Here in Australia, it was talked about building the bridge to the recovery. It's a very short-term focus. So it'll be interesting to see if governments do focus on some longer-term initiatives to go greener. And just on that, what are the benefits to going greener?
So in the note, I discuss a sustainable recovery plan published by the International Energy Agency and the International Monetary Fund. And the plan outlines a range of energy-related measures which could deliver significant economic and climate benefits if implemented over 2021 to 2023. And among all the recommended policy measures, the plan puts an emphasis on energy efficiency measures. So things such as adding insulation and improving glazing to existing buildings. And the reason why these measures are emphasized is that they have the potential to create more jobs and to reduce more emissions. I'd like to also highlight the building sector has high potential to embed the principles of a circular economy, which Joe touched on in an earlier podcast. So, for example, recycled building materials such as concrete, metal, and timber can be used to construct new buildings. And the outcome of that could lead to a reduction in both raw materials and energy demand in the construction sector. I mean, overall, the plan demonstrates what a green recovery could look like, and that is possible to design economic recovery policies that can achieve both economic and climate goals.
It's interesting to think, what are the incentives to go green by a government? Is it to improve climate change? Is it a cost versus a benefit argument? Or is it to really appease and go with the public shift, which I think there has been in recent years? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it is both. So in addition to the economic and climate benefits that I just mentioned, green projects in some instances are actually more attractive today compared to the GFC period. So you've got very low interest rates. And at the same time, the cost of renewable energy, particularly wind and solar power, have come down dramatically. So as a production input, cheaper renewables can in turn reduce costs of other emerging technologies such as green hydrogen. At the same time, public concerns about the impact of climate change have risen to record heights despite coronavirus, and this is observed globally. And this growing perception of the threat from climate change could really catalyze policy change and investments for a greener economy.
But what else is needed? I mean, you've said, you know, a relatively small proportion of fiscal stimulus can be regarded as green. What do you think, what else is needed to help, I guess, shift that even further?
Well, it is really encouraging to see more green policy measures being implemented or announced, and it is definitely a step in the right direction. However, I think it is also important to emphasize that a green economic recovery alone will not be sufficient to address climate change. Creating a sustainable future would require structural change across all aspects of an economy. So from the perspective of governments, future policies will have to be designed in a way that takes sustainability into account. And the COVID-19 recovery plans will merely serve as a way to judge if economies are starting to deliver on their longer-term climate goals.
Fascinating. Carol, I think it's going to be a topic we continue to talk about over the next year or so and beyond that. Appreciate your insights today.
Thanks, Melina.
Now, you can read Carol Kong's report titled Green is the New Black in a Post-COVID World, published on the 11th of February 2021 on combankresearch.com.au.